Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join. Hello everyone, we wanted to offer you a brief introduction to our newest product on the propertymanagementmastermind.com site. It's called the Business Development Toolkit. In 2017, RentWorks organically grew by over 360 plus homes. In 2018, we are on pace to grow another 500 homes. All of this has been without any acquisitions by going out to meet the people and earn the business one at a time. This toolkit will provide you all the marketing materials, business development scripts, and follow-up plans in a format you can modify and use. The biggest part of this toolkit is we give you the Lead Simple follow-up plan. Now, using Lead Simple as your contact resource management platform, combined with implementing our follow-up plan, will give you a launching pad to build your business. This was over 2 years in the making, pulling bits and pieces from the best companies in the industry. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied with this product. Check out our site at propertymanagementmastermind.com to learn more about this new business development toolkit. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind. I am Brad Larson, your host. I am the only podcast host in the country who actually owns a management company. So as the saying goes, if you're going to get going to a heart surgery, you want the heart surgeon. You don't want the nurse operating. So let's kick it off real quick. Today's guest, I have Mark Delfini, and he is the landlord coach. And so I don't want to steal a lot of his thunder in the intro, but Mark, we talked briefly real quick before we started, is we want to hear your story, and I want to give you the floor to tell us more about your story. So give us the intro and give us that story you talked about.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, thanks. First of all, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. I love being able to share the message that the story that I've been through, only because it's important. I think it's important for people to hear what the struggle is and that someone else understands what's going on out there. First off, I started out my professional career in the Marine Corps. I got out of high school. I graduated at like 356th out of 358. So I wasn't exactly lined up to go straight into college. But from there, I decided that I want to get into the military, and Marine Corps was just the best route for me. So I went in and got straightened out. They jerked my tail pretty straight, pretty quickly. And I really got to see what the way that life was, and knew I wanted to get an education. I got out of the Marine Corps after 4 years. And went to Purdue University, got a degree in accounting. And that's really where my professional world started out. When I got to Purdue, I noticed that the real estate market was a pretty sound investment. And I've always been interested in real estate, but it was just a really good place for me to start. So I started buying rental properties when I first got to college. And then by the time I graduated, I had about a dozen rental units altogether. And then that's where I say at that point, that's where my education really started.
Yeah. Cause you got to go through the trenches a little bit. You got to make your mistakes, got to get your butt kicked in a little bit. That's quite interesting that you are able to start in college. So you got out of college, graduated, I catch that right? You had a dozen units already.
Correct. Yeah. And like they weren't high dollar things. I mean, these weren't high dollar units, but I did. I had about maybe 8 or 10 single family dwellings, and the rest were duplexes.
Okay. So now we want to talk more about what you're doing. So you have a good banner behind you, the sign, I love it, called the Landlord Coach. And one of the reasons I had you on the show, or want you on the show, is to talk us through the coaching stuff and what's out there and what opportunities you can offer other property managers who want to get ahead, get excelled, grow. I mean, the growth is the key term. So talk us through some of the Landlord Coach.
Well, thanks. So it's probably just to continue on my story just a little bit, because then it's going to make more sense as to why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I I went on and I started, I had the dozen units or so, went on and I started working a job on the side where I was working in the field of accounting. That was my background. And I went to, I worked for the Marriott for a few years. I went and worked, did some banking for a few years as a credit analyst. And all the while, I was still building my portfolio. So got up organically. I got up to, you know, through wheeling and dealing and a hodgepodge of creative financing, got up to 93 rental units by myself. And it was about $6 million worth of real estate.
Wow.
And it was in all senses a barn fire. I did not own a business. I was very self-employed and it was just a mess. There was no infrastructure, no process. Everything was in my head and it was all just a house of cards waiting to fall.
And you had no property management employment at that point, as far as you did it all yourself.
I did everything. I did everything from the leasing to the showings, to the maintenance, the collections, the banking, accounting, everything. I did it all. And like a true entrepreneur, you get into this stuff and you can do it, but I just did not value my time. I certainly didn't value my free time. And I did not put a high enough value on the things that I was doing that actually was my highest and best use of my time. And I think that's where a lot of, not just individual investors, but I think that's where a lot of property managers go wrong as well, because they're doing activities that are not the highest and best use of their time. And maybe their best thing is, and the things that they enjoy doing. So maybe the highest and best use of their time is sales, or maybe they really like the client interaction. They like dealing with the owners and the residents, but they're just not good at accounting. They're not good at holding people accountable. Whatever it is, we've all got our weaknesses. And I just made the mistake of not seeing that early enough. My Jerry Maguire moment came not long after that, where in 2008, 2009, I ran into some really, really hard times, and I lost about $4.5 million of real estate pretty much overnight. And it was bad. I mean, these were really bad times where I mean, I couldn't even pay my electric and my water bill in the same month. You know, what do you do? You've grown fond of TV, but you really like to take a shower once in a while too. It was just horrible. So it was during that time too that I got really sick, and I ended up starting out with a cold. So I'm working 20-hour days, and what started out as a cold turned into double pneumonia, and I nearly died from it. I actually was in the hospital and almost died from it. And I realized at that point that this madness couldn't continue. I needed to set it up as a business. I needed to change my paradigm from self-employed to business owner. I needed to pay someone else. It's okay for me to own the trains, but I needed to get someone else to help me to make sure that they ran on time.
So tell us also on the management side. So what do you do now? Do you work with a management company?
So I'm a managing broker about $40 million, $40 million under management between what I own and what we manage here in Lafayette, Indiana. So I'm also a managing broker of that company that I actually ended up starting, which really helped me develop the systems that I teach now to other property management companies.
It's interesting the spin you put on that as far as the dollar amount of under management. Most of us look at units. Most of us, I mean, even some of us might even look at revenue per year on what size of the business is. You're looking at an interesting metric there of the amount of value of the real estate that you manage. That's really an interesting way to spin off on it. How many, just so to context for the audience, how many units is that roughly?
Not quite 300.
It's still a good amount. And those are mostly single family home, or are they mixed?
Mostly single family dwellings. I know in the property management world, we like to count doors. But when I got to the point that I realized that more customers was not my goal, I really started really catering more towards the higher dollar rent, the average rent is what I was looking at as a metric, because 300 doors at $400 a door per month is not where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. 300 doors at $1,000 per door or better was exactly where I wanted to be, because it was less customers, less headaches, less opportunities for me to screw up. And I was dealing with a different type of clientele. So that automatically just really, once I understood that scarcity, it wasn't scarcity to be thinking of, okay, I want to narrow my field in terms of the people that I want to cater to. Mm-hmm. So it was more of an abundance type mentality. And there's a lot of work out there, and there's more work that I can get to.
Yeah.
And not everybody's meant to be my customer.
So at this point, you have a management company you are one of the principals of, and you manage and own several real estate pieces. So tell us through that, what you currently have on the books.
Yeah, I've got right around 26 units. Sorry, I divested some there just recently, but I think it's 26 units altogether. Mostly single family dwellings. Again, I've been in single family dwellings my entire professional real estate career, and it's what I know. It's just what I'm good at. I'm not going to say that multifamily is bad or anything along those lines. Everybody's got their what they feel most comfortable in. Some people feel comfortable dealing only in notes. Okay, fine. If that's working for you, all I would say is make sure you're building a sustainable business around that and something that's scalable that doesn't take all of your time.
Let's go on a complete tangent here. So I'm going to interrupt you, and this will be a fun debate because we see this a lot on BiggerPockets. We see this a lot on Facebook. Let's debate the single family home versus the multifamily home.
I'm ready.
Are you prepared to jump in and make an argument for either way?
I am.
Okay, just for fun, because here's my concept, and I don't want to give away my bias just yet, but the single family home market is diversified. It's you have more opportunities for growth. The cap rates are generally higher. There is more maintenance. There is more fees. The barrier of entry is extremely low. And on the multifamily side, you have cap rates are horrible. They're in the tank. You have all the Grant Cardone wannabes out there that are lowering the market because they're raising the rates for any multifamily piece that goes on the market. Anything that goes up on the market is going to be overinflated in price because the brokers and the owners that are selling know that everyone is buying and drinking the Kool-Aid for these Grant Cardoneites that are preaching the multifamilies. And so that's my quick monologue on the base of this debate. What are your considerations on that?
I think we're in the same camp because one of the main reasons why I like single family dwellings, there's a lot of reasons why I like them. Number one, if you come from the multifamily industry and you go into single family dwellings, you're going to fall in love with the rates of occupancy. You're going to be like, wow, I can't believe I've got someone moving out the back door while someone else is moving in the front door. And you've got the painters in between. And yes, everything you said in terms of the potential negatives, you know, there is more maintenance. They are more spread out. But those, I learned to play the hand that I'm dealt and not wishing for a better hand. So when you have a single family dwelling, you have to look at what the positives are of that. If, let's say for argument's sake, that I get really sick, okay, and I need to buy a kidney, right? And I need $500,000 from somewhere. It's way easier for me to find a buyer for five different houses than it is, or maybe even five buyers for five houses, than it is for me to sell a 5-unit building or a 10-unit building, just because the financing, the way the financing works and the way that world works, it's a different bird.
Much more liquid. It's much more liquid for sure. Much, I totally agree.
Absolutely. Because not only can you get into the buying, you can get into the market of someone who wants to buy that house as a single family dwelling to live in, possibly, you're also going to be looking at potential investors who want to buy that house. Now, granted, they might be only paying 70 cents on the dollar, but you still have a much more, it's a question of liquidity. Mm-hmm. And that's always been my strategy. I've always liked that ability to get into that. If I wanted to get a loan against it, it's way easier. It's just, there's lots of things that you can leverage both on the consumer side and the commercial side and just leverage it and make your hand much more valuable than if you just had one multifamily unit.
Another fun topic of discussion for you, this is completely ambushing you again, is flipping, is flipping dead?
Oh Lord, no. Unfortunately, the Grant Cardoneites in the world are, saying, it's hard for me to go to a real estate investment club where someone's not wholesaling, someone's not retailing or wanting to flip houses, that sort of thing, or either doing it or wanting to do it. I'm not going to knock it. I've done some flipping and I've done some full rehabs where you're not just doing a carpet and paint. I think it's one of those things where if you know which avenue to look at, you know, it's really, really difficult to buy a property that's listed on the MLS through a realtor and flip that and think that you're going to make money. That's really, really tough because everybody's got the same information and they're going to go on there. I don't understand why if someone says, oh, well, they paid $80,000 for it 2 months ago. I'm not paying, you know, $90,000 for it, even though there may be $20,000 extra dollars worth of value put into it. It's a mindset that, again, is scarcity. So in terms of flipping, there's a lot of people doing it and there's a lot of people who are successful at it. But I think it's really, really tough unless you have that established lines of communication and or lines of organization where you're already dealing with certain maybe realtors that have pocket listings that it comes on and never actually hits the market, or if you've got an established methodology of going out there and getting in front of people before they even want to potentially even sell the property, or they even getting in that mindset. So it's not dead. It's just, it doesn't look like it did 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely on life support, if not dead. It's pretty close. I mean, the margins are so thin that the players that are in it are dominant, and they're going to the courthouse steps. They're waiting for those chance evictions, those chance foreclosures that pop up, the sheriff sales. I mean, it's thin. It's not dead, but it's not the good old days. I mean, if we get
everybody's in it,
if we get a harsh recession here sometime in the near, in this decade, let's say, in the next decade, we may see some of this come back, and that would be an interesting play, because I just went there because we were talking about single family homes, and then you're going to start thinking, okay, well, how do I acquire them if you want to go get more? I will tell you, I think for property management company owners, they're in the best position of anybody to be able to acquire single family homes. You can rape and pillage from your inventory, right? You can always tell your owners that, hey, if you want to sell, come to me first. I may buy you. You could always go that direction. And then you can start getting creative on the financing side with that, right? For those folks that are in your inventory. All right. So,
And I like that thought, just because right now I am divesting. My assets, my real estate assets are lower than I would like them to see. And I'm going to continue to divest because right now I want to build cash. I want to build my cash base. And yeah, maybe I'm going to be too heavy on cash at some point, but I would rather, I've been in that road, in that position where in 2009, 2010, I wish I had had cash and I didn't have hardly any cash. I mean, going into the recession, I had about 100,000 sitting aside, thought that would be enough, but I want to be so heavy on cash because I know it's going to correct. It's going to, days on market are going to go up. Things are going to get lean. Interest rates are going to go up, and it's going to be a good place to be sitting on cash. And that's why I'm divesting what I am. Cause right now you're 100% right. People are, what they're paying for multifamilies right now, or really any a real estate asset, I just can't justify the numbers.
Yeah. I think it's going to weigh heavy for a little while, and then it has to self-correct somewhere.
Hey everyone, this is Allison DeSaro with Seacoast Commerce Bank. You may have heard about us, or you may have even heard my podcast episode with Brad Larson, where we discuss the benefits of banking with property management bank like Seacoast Commerce Bank. We specialize in providing the ideal banking partnership for not only your business, but specifically your trust accounts. In addition, we offer a significant analysis program, which allows us to not only offset your bank fees, but then also offset property management related invoices. You can visit us at our website, or you can call me directly at 619-988-6708.
This is Brad Larson, and I endorse this message.
All right. Doing a rewind, backing off of this tangent, going back to our corrected path, we want to talk a little bit more about coaching, consulting, because the landlord coach is an opportunity that is for everybody out there who owns a management company. And so now you've talked about your background. You own 20 plus units of homes that you own. You got a management company that manages 300 plus units. You're probably doing $1 million, $1.5 million a year in revenue, at least maybe $2 million. And so all these gives you the background of being a person that can actually talk to somebody and say, here's what I've done. This is what I'm doing. This is what has worked for me. This is what I can inject into your business. So talk us through that now that I've given you a good intro.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. So what I'm looking at is, from my perspective, I help create capacity. So if people are coming to saying to me, hey, I've got 200 doors and I want to get to 600 doors. I'm not necessarily going to say I'm not the guy, but I'm really not the guy, because what I do is I want to create capacity for you. And what you choose to do with that capacity is entirely up to you. Some people will want to use that extra capacity for life output. They just say, you know what? The 200 actually makes money for me now and I don't have to spend all my time doing it. This is exactly the life that I want. Or if they do want to grow it to 600 doors, they can use that capacity because now they're going to have extra time and ideally a little bit more money to be making, to be leveraging their infrastructure towards that goal. So that's really what it is that I do. And I do that through something I've come up with called the VIP process, the VIP business model. So I work as both a coach and consultant, and really the beginning part is really more of a coach. Because I kind of look like a life coach almost in the very beginning. Because when people come to me, especially the brokers and the people who are involved in that, I'm going to ask them, what is it that they want? What are you looking for? What's the magic? What's the pot of gold that you're looking for at the end of all of this? And a lot of times they'll say, well, I want to get to 400 doors, or I want to get to 1,000 doors, or whatever that is. I say, no, that's not what you want. That's kind of a ridiculous number. Why would you want 1,000? Why not 10,000? Why not 1,000,000? And it's just a number that just sounds really convenient. So a lot of times what I'm going to say is, okay, look, what's the life output that you want? What are you trying to get to? And ultimately, you know, I've had some people who come back to me with some really, really good visions of their future. So again, thinking in VIP and vision infrastructure process, we go back to vision. And vision, you know, that's going to be where you want to go. And it's going to be, okay, I want $40,000 a month in free cash flow. I want to be completely out of debt. I want to spend a month on the beach sitting in Spain rubbing cocoa butter on my belly. Whatever that is, that's what they want to do. So I really help them align themselves and their staff towards that common vision. And once you establish that vision in the property management world, I would help them establish core values for their business. So that's the core values for the business are really the vision of where they're all trying to get to. Then once that's absolutely clear, then we're going to construct an infrastructure that is based in alignment with that vision. So, you know, from the individual property manager world where I'm only dealing with one or two people, the main thing from them is I'm going to say, okay, well, you know, if your vision of your future is to sit on the beach for a month, well, you can't build an infrastructure that's going to require you to return emails and phone calls in a timely manner. So, you know, that's why vision comes first, then infrastructure, and you build that infrastructure, which is your websites, which is the bones of your business, the property management software, things like that. And then finally is process. And process is the systems and the rules upon which you'll operate. You think of that as a train, the train that runs on the infrastructure tracks that you built, that all stays in alignment with the vision for your future.
Now, you talked earlier about overlays. You mentioned that term. Dive into that.
So this is not an either or sort of thing. I mean, there's, and I'm not certainly the coach or the consultant for everybody. And it's not, coaching and consulting is not a one size fits all endeavor. Some people will be more effective for you than others. But this particular system is not, this is how you do it and you follow my direction and you have to follow every piece of it. It's really about setting it up as a business. And that's where I see a lot of property management companies struggle is that they're not operating as a business. I'll give you an example. Infrastructure is one of those things that when it's working well, it's hard to notice. It's when it's not working well that you go, oh, this place is screwed up. So I use the example of, let's say you walk into a busy McDonald's. Okay. And you walk in and there's four registers, people behind each register, and the customers are standing back. They're all kind of, back away from the registers. And you walk up and you go, are you in line? Can I get in line? Right. I mean, we've all had that experience happen. That's a problem of infrastructure. And even though there may be four registers open, no one knows who's next in line. You're leaving it up to the customer to decide who's supposed to go next. Well, infrastructure is really simple to fix that. Just put in a rope line. That's an infrastructure issue. When you have a process issue, it's very similar. It looks similar, but it's a different problem. A process problem would be, let's say for argument's sake, you go back into that same busy McDonald's, except now you do have four registers open, but each line is four customers deep. Okay. And it's really, really busy. Well, then all of a sudden you get an assistant manager or somebody who jumps in and opens up a new register and says, I can help the next person. And then someone in the back of one line jumps ahead of everybody else. That's a process problem. And it's also a great way to start a fight. So, right. So these are all problems of infrastructure and process. And that's exactly what happens in any business. It's not just necessarily property management, but when you have problems with your clients, whether they're owners or residents, I'm telling you, you have to look at your infrastructure and process first. Yes, you're going to be dealing with some people that are just an absolute pill. But when your infrastructure or process is broken or it's not working well, you have to look at yourself really hard and give yourself that honest feedback.
That will change on a recurring basis. It's never where you can just put it in and go. That's one of the challenges we have as single family home property managers is we don't have X number of units forever and ever and ever, like an apartment complex would. You know, you manage an apartment complex, you have 346 units forever. right? It's very easy to instill processes and procedures that only change when the names change. For us, it's a constantly evolving system to where just this morning I was re-evolving the processes for the flow of a certain form that will now go to certain new team members. So before it was going to an old team member, but now that things have changed, we're doing to a new team member. And so those are good examples of processes again for us. Now, I did want to give you an opportunity to talk about, I saw you had a book going on, the Wealthy Investor series. Right. So that's a really neat looking thing. And question before this, hang on, so I'm getting to this. So is your services more focused towards property managers or landlord investors? Question mark.
I do both. So because I think they're similar problems. I can work with individual investors who are wanting to build their own and self-manage. But I also work with property managers too, because quite frankly, there are some owners that I'm going to work with, and I'm going to get halfway into their coaching sessions and say, is this something that you really have the heart to do? Because being a business owner is not for everybody. And if you're really going to struggle with the decisions that you need to be making, this is just not for you. Now, again, once I work with those individuals and they get to a certain number, they're going to be experts on process and infrastructure. They're going to understand when they look at a property management company and they realize, for example, something that we do that just does not seem to exist in the industry is we do a video inspection at every change of possession. The reason for that is because it establishes a base standard for how the resident is receiving the property and the owner is receiving a copy to say, oh, that's all the work that I just paid for. So it really helps establish an arm's length transaction between all of it, but it's so few of them are doing it because they don't have the infrastructure on how to handle something like that. And again, it goes back to processes and infrastructure. Great so example. I will work. I think it's the same. It's the same cousin from a different tree.
Mm-hmm. Talk us more through the Wealthy Investor series.
Right. It's the Time Wealthy Investor. And really the concept of time wealth is really about being able to control your calendar, because there are a lot of people out there that are just, they're trading their time for money. And that's the definition of a job. And if you're a managing broker or you're working in a property management company, and there's many people out there who are double dipping, who are also brokers, they're also selling properties, they're also maybe even just doing it on the side as a side hustle. But the whole concept of it is really about being time wealthy rather than just financially wealthy. Time wealth is the ability to control your calendar, and that's the real true basis in terms of why I wrote the book.
So how does that book work? I saw you had a 4-CD set. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's actually, I wanted to redo that a little bit. So the CD package, it's a video series that I'm getting ready to do. I'm also getting ready to release one specifically for property managers. So that will be forthcoming. It walks people through, especially with those who are more visual learners and would prefer the video learning versus actually peeling through the book. It really takes them through the Time Wealthy Investor, or I'm giving your listeners a sneak peek here, the Time Wealthy Property Manager. So that's actually going to really, really get into the weeds on that, and they'll be able to really delve into what the weeds are in the book. The book does go into some pretty distinct detail, but I can go into a little bit better detail in the video because I'm able to explain things a little bit faster.
Let's talk about some of the incentives that you may want to offer to the listeners to check you out. So we had discussed this earlier about the discount code BRAD. Mm-hmm. So talk us through what you can offer the listeners to engage with you.
Yeah. So, and I'm happy that right now I've got a 15% discount for any of the Brad listeners. I want to offer that for really any product that I've got out there right now. I've got, unfortunately, I don't have any control over the way that you, if you buy the book, if you purchase the Time Wealthy Investor, it is on sale through Amazon, but I can offer a discount for coaching, consulting. And once the video series comes up, I'll be offering that same discount code through that as well. So it's a 15% discount for the Brad listeners, and it will be either for coaching or consulting package. And those packages right now are starting around $1,900, so it is a pretty significant savings. And that's for an 8-week session or however that needs to work. And I can do mentoring, coaching, consulting, really anywhere in the United States, or really anywhere that you're located at. But yeah, I'm happy to offer that to the Brad listeners.
Would you expect that someone gets engaged with you and then they get into it and they start to see a real severe uptick in their revenue, because you potentially could come in and maximize their processes and maybe give them a little some biz dev max as far as fee maximization and process maximization and all that good stuff. So they should expect some sort of pretty significant revenue increase to offset the cost for you. Is that where I'm going with?
I honestly think if you're looking at one of those things is, here's the thing, not everybody needs a coach. And I'm not even going to say everybody does need one, but by that same token, everybody should really have a coach. And whether you're in business or life or whatever it is, these are people that are going to, the good coaches anyway, they're going to be the ones that are going to be holding you accountable. Because that's the problem, is that we get into business for ourselves because we didn't want to be held accountable to a boss. But then we find out that we've end up working more hours and we're not hitting our own goals because we're not being held accountable. And I think a really good coach or consultant will do that, and they should do that. And if you have a coach that's not doing that, I would look for another coach, because that your coach should not have such a high need for approval and acceptance that they're just telling you that every idea that you have is a good one and they're not challenging you. That's something that you really need to look internally and just make sure that you're getting what you need from your coach.
Excellent. And how does someone reach you?
Best way would be through the landlordcoach.com. It's also, I'm going to be setting up a page specifically for the, it'll be set up here. I think it's actually already been done last couple of days. I haven't had a chance to check on it, but it's a property landlordcoach.com/Brad. And there'll be a page just dedicated to you guys.
Cool. Appreciate that. Yeah. That's an easy one to remember. landlordcoach.com/Brad. Excellent. Been a great episode. I really appreciate you coming on. There's so much more we could talk about, but people are going to just have to engage with you to dig in, to find out what more you can offer, because people are always interested in coaching. I truly recommend someone to get into it, to get into some coaching assistance, because you don't know what you don't know. That's a good saying. It's very platitudinal. However, it is true. And I think that people should have a coach. Some of the most successful property managers I know always have coaches and always have. Now, some of the stuff I've been doing is essentially just having internal coaches, like mastermind coaches, where I have my yearly goals and I have several people that I stay in touch with, and I kind of bounce stuff off of them and they hold me accountable. But I certainly think it's worthy of engaging with someone like you to see what else I don't know. Because, you know, you get into this mindset of, I'm doing good, everything's fine. And then you get smacked with something and you're like, whoa, this is eye-opening. What am I missing?
I 100% agree. And I even have a coach, because I need to be able to hold myself accountable to my own goals and things like that. So I drink my own Kool-Aid, because you can only self-medicate so much. I mean, you can read books, you can listen to the podcasts, but at the end of the day, you're going to say, yeah, that was a really good idea. And you're listening to a podcast on the way to work. What's your activity behind it? You know, when you leave a conference, you walk away with all these ideas, and then you get back to the daily grind. Well, how many of them did you actually implement? And did you even write down an action plan to implement any of these things? And that's where it gets really, really frustrating, because you can go to conference after conference, read book after book, but until you really develop a plan and have someone holding you accountable for that, really, it's almost a waste of time.
Do you have any conference speaking gigs coming up, by the way?
Not hard yet. I know I've got a couple, and one in Cincinnati that's tentative, one in Houston. Unfortunately, the conferences are a little new for me, just because I've not done a lot of them, but I've got them lined up. They will be listed on the Time Wealthy Investor. I've got a calendar up there. Once those are up, I'll definitely have them posted.
Like it. You're just getting off the ground, young, aggressive, getting after it. Love to see it. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. Been a good episode. And if anyone needs to reach you, landlordcoach.com/Brad. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. Bye-bye. This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you'll definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.